Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, ninth chapter, the passing away of Bhishma Dev, text 22. Tathapi ekanta bhakteshu pasya bhupa अनुकंपितं जन्मे आशुन त्याजतः जन्मे शुंस्त्याजतः साक्षात् कृष्ण दर्शनम् आगतः तथा पेकांत भक्तेषु पश्य भूपानुकंपितं जन्मेषु स्त्यजत साक्षात् कृष्णो दर्शनम् आगतः तथा पेकांत भक्तेषु पश्य भूपानुकंपितं जन्मेषु स्त्यजत साक्षात् कृष्ण दर्शनम् आगतः तथा पेकांत भक्तेषु पश्य भूपानुकंपितं जन्मेषु स्त्यजत साक्षात् कृष्ण दर्शनम् आगतः By his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Yet, despite his being equally kind to everyone, he has graciously come before me while I am ending my life, for I am his unflinching servitor. Please repeat after me. Yet, despite his being equally kind to everyone, he has graciously come before me while I am ending my life, for I am his unflinching servitor. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, although equal to everyone, is still more inclined to his unflinching devotee, who is completely surrendered and knows no one else as his protector and master. Having unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord as one's protector, friend and master is the natural condition of eternal life. A living entity is so made by the will of the Almighty that he is most happy when placing himself in a condition of absolute dependence. The opposite tendency is the cause of fall down. The living entity has this tendency of falling down by dint of misidentifying himself as fully independent to lord it over the material world. The root cause of all troubles is there in false egotism. One must draw towards the Lord in all circumstances. The appearance of Lord Krishna at the deathbed of Bhishmaji is due to his being an unflinching devotee of the Lord. Arjun had some bodily relation with Krishna because the Lord happened to be his maternal cousin. But Bhishma had no such bodily relation. Therefore, the cause of attraction was due to the intimate relation of the soul. Yet, because the relation of the body is very pleasing and natural, the Lord is more pleased when he is addressed as the son of Maharaj Nanda, the son of Jashoda, the lover of Radharani. This affinity by bodily relation with the Lord is another feature of reciprocating loving service with the Lord. Bhishma Dev is conscious of this sweetness of transcendental humor, and therefore he likes to address the Lord as Bijaya Shakhe, Partha Shakhe, etc., exactly like Nanda Nandan or Jashoda Nandan. The best way to establish our relation in transcendental sweetness is to approach him through his recognized devotees. One should not try to establish a relation directly. There must be a via medium which is transparent and competent to lead us to the right path. Tathapyekanta bhakteshu pasya bhupanu kampitam janme shungstajato shakshat Krishna darshanam agataha. Yet, despite his being equally kind to everyone, he has graciously come before me while I am ending my life, for I am his unflinching servitor. One of the qualities of Krishna is that he is samadarshi. He is equally disposed to everyone. Now, this samadarshi are equally disposed to everyone doesn't mean that Krishna's relationship or Krishna's reciprocation is equal to everyone. No. In order to explain that point, Krishna says, ye yatha mang prapadyante tang stathaiva bhajammaham. That the way one surrenders unto me, or the way one acts towards me, accordingly I reciprocate. So that is the real meaning of Krishna's becoming samadarshi. Krishna is impartial, but now it's up to us how we want to relate to Krishna. If somebody relates to Krishna as an enemy, Krishna says, okay, fine. You're my enemy. You can treat me as your enemy. Like Duryodhan, Kamsa, Shishupal, Jarasandha, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. So they considered that Krishna was their enemy. And they had all the facilities to deal with Krishna as an enemy. Whereas if someone treats Krishna as a friend, then Krishna will also reciprocate as a friend. If someone wants to be Krishna, treat Krishna as her lover, then Krishna will also reciprocate accordingly. So the real understanding of Krishna being samadarshi is that ye yatha mam prapadyante tangstathaiva bhajammaham. And here Bhishma Dev also is confirming that point. He is saying that Krishna has so graciously come to see me at this most critical time of my life, when I am about to leave my body, because I am an unflinching servitor of Krishna. Bhishma Dev is naturally a great devotee of Krishna. He is one of the Mahajans. But here we see that Bhishma Dev is dealing with Krishna, although he is in love with Krishna. He knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many instances when Bhishma Dev very, very clearly indicated that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Bhishma Dev knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, Bhishma Dev sided with Duryodhana against the Pandavas, Krishna's devotees. Here we have to understand that it was his pastimes. It was Krishna's arrangement. And why this arrangement? Again, we can also consider that ye yatha mam prapadyante. Bhishma Dev was related to Krishna in Vira Ras. in the mellow of chivalry. And in the mellow of chivalry, one likes to see Krishna as a fighter, as a warrior. So Bhishma Dev always wanted to see Krishna as a warrior, because he himself was a warrior. He wanted to see Krishna also as a warrior. He didn't fight with Krishna, but he wanted to see that that fierce appearance of Krishna. So that is how a person situated in Vira Rasa wants to see Krishna. And he provoked, yes, okay, let Krishna display his fierce appearance. The most powerful personality. This point also has been very clearly indicated when Krishna appeared in the arena, wrestling arena in Kamsa's palace. And there it has been pointed out that how different people saw Krishna. Mallanam Ashwani. Krishna came to fight there. And the wrestlers, like Chanur and Mushtika and other wrestlers, saw him as an Ashwani. Ashwani means thunderbolt. They saw him as a thunderbolt. Because since they are the fighters, they are the warriors, they are the fighters, they are wrestlers, they appreciate something that is strong and powerful. So they saw Krishna as a most powerful personality. And Nrinang Narovara, the human beings, common folks, saw him as the best of mankind, the best of the man, Purushottama. Here is the personality who is the greatest, who is the best. His parents, people in parental affection, saw him as the most loving child. His friends saw him as the perfect friend. And the women saw him as Cupid personified. The women saw him as the most handsome personality. So the same Krishna, he is there, but different people are seeing him in a different way, according to their appreciation. Everybody doesn't appreciate the same thing. Like some people like it bitter, some people like it hot, some people like it sweet. The taste differs. Not that everybody likes the same thing. The position of the most recognized, exalted personality. And at that time, Shishupal just flared up. Why Krishna? And he started to blaspheme Krishna. And if somebody wants to blaspheme Krishna, one can find lots of reasons to blaspheme Krishna. Like Krishna's pastimes are so wonderful that different people can see him in a different way. If somebody wants to find blemishes in Krishna, they can find a lot of blemishes. But the problem is with themselves. Like Shishupal actually started to blaspheme Krishna, saying that we don't even know whether he is a Kshatriya or not. Who knows what his birth is? So in this way he was casting the doubt in Krishna's birth. Jai Shri Shri Madan Mohan Ki Jai. Krishna's birth, and we don't know who he is. And he was in Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan he was flirting around with a young girl. He's a person without any character, without any sense of morality. And in this way he started to blaspheme Krishna. Now at that time Bhishma Dev stood up. Bhishma said that I am celebrated all over the world as the Brahmachari. Everyone knows that I am the Brahmachari. I am a brahmachari. Naistik brahmachari, who never deviated from his brahmachari vow. And I worship Krishna. So in this way he established that Krishna is the greatest brahmachari. Shishupal is thinking that he is flirting and Krishna is flirting with women. So Krishna is doing this, Krishna is doing that, Krishna doesn't have any sense of morality. He is having affairs with others' wives and so forth. But what is the actual reality? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Krishna is even the husbands of the husbands. So if Krishna has an affair with their wives, what's wrong? Krishna is everyone's husband. Krishna is the husband of the husbands also. So if Krishna has a relationship, and in our day-to-day life also we see that if the wife becomes a devotee of Krishna, does the husband mind? Do they become upset? No. Because they know that relationship with Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. Relationship with Krishna is the most pure thing. So, that is the real understanding. But people can find faults with Krishna if they want to. But Krishna tolerates. Although Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha became his enemy, Krishna gave them everything for their survival. He gave them their food, he gave them their water, he gave them their oxygen. He gave everything. They didn't have any dearth of. Or even though one becomes an enemy of Krishna, Krishna still takes care of him. Krishna never says, okay, you are my enemy, I won't give you any more oxygen. Krishna could do that. Like, we can see how we are dependent upon Krishna at every moment. One of the examples that often I think of is that we are situated on the surface of the earth. The earth is round and it's moving at a tremendous speed. So if there is a round object starts to move, what will happen to the objects that are situated on the surface of that object? It will immediately be thrown out. But it's not happening. Why it's not happening? Because of Krishna's arrangement. We may call it gravitational pull, but who created the gravitational pull? Did Newton create the gravitational pull? No. It's Krishna who created the gravitational pull. And modern science doesn't know what the gravitational pull is. But what is the gravitational pull? The gravitational pull is Shankarshan's arrangement. The universes are situated on the head of Shankarshan. And it is his energy that is keeping everything together. So, Krishna is equally disposed to everyone in this sense. He is taking care of everybody. Whether he is his enemy or a friend, doesn't matter. Whether one is favorably disposed to Krishna or whether one is offensive to Krishna, Krishna is catering to everybody. Just like the loving and caring father. Son may get upset with the father and start screaming and shouting, but still the father gives the food. Okay. So, Krishna is equally disposed to everyone. But Krishna reciprocates in different ways with different people according to their dealings with him. Jeja, therefore, jeja thamang prapattante tang stathaiva bhajam maham. As one reciprocates unto Krishna, as one acts towards, as one is exposed to Krishna, accordingly Krishna reciprocates. Now, When we become inimical towards Krishna, then we invite miseries for ourselves. It's not that Krishna is casting miseries upon us, but we are inviting miseries. Because the natural arrangement is, the closer we come to Krishna, closer we become full of joy. Because Krishna is Anandamay. So when we come close to Krishna, we will also become Anandamay. Just like the source of light. We are in the darkness, but closer we come to the source of light, more we can appreciate the light and more we can see according to that light. But more we go away from light, we invite darkness for ourselves. Closer we go towards the light, we invite light for ourselves. Closer we go away from light, we invite darkness for ourselves. So since Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure, closer we get to Krishna, the more pleasure we derive. And the more further away we go, away from Krishna, the more miseries we invite for ourselves. Krishna is neutral, but it's we who are creating our destiny. It is up to us. Therefore, what an intelligent person do? He'll get closer and closer and closer to Krishna. And as a result of that, his life will become more and more joyful. And the real joy is derived out of our relationship with Krishna. The joy is not derived by making money and arranging all the comfortable situations for ourselves. The real joy is in our loving relationship with Krishna. Therefore, a devotee does not worry about making arrangements for himself, comfortable arrangements for himself. He is happy wherever he is. He may be under a tree or he may be in a palace. He is completely unconcerned about that. Because his real joy is derived out of his loving relationship with Krishna. Like Prabhupada used to say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That is the formula for happiness. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But we are thinking, have a big house and be happy. Have a nice car and be happy. Have all the facilities for enjoyment and be happy. But does it work? No. But Prabhupada says, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And when you start chanting Hare Krishna, we become happy. And we notice, like, it's not difficult to become happy. You can chant anywhere, anytime, at any place. Just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just chant Hare Krishna. It doesn't cost any money. It doesn't need any comfortable situation. It doesn't need anything external. Anywhere, at any place, under any circumstances, we can chant Hare Krishna. But those who do not have implicit faith in the holy name, what they will do? Even though they will chant Hare Krishna, but their mind will be somewhere else. In mouth they are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but in their mind they are thinking, where is money, where is money? Then Krishna will say, okay, go after money. Suffer some more and then come back to me. So we have to understand that the sufferings in the material nature is actually an arrangement by Maya to bring us close to Krishna. The more we deviate from Krishna, the more Maya punishes us. This punishment is something like we are moving in, like a bunch of bunch of ships. Or bunch of goats. Like the tender, the goat tender or the shepherd, what does the shepherd do? When one sheep goes out of the track, then what does the shepherd do? Brings him back to the line. So similarly, when we go off the track, then Maya just pushes us to come back to the track. And to us it appears to be like a punishment. But what Maya is doing, she is tenderly saying, softly, gently saying, bring us back, come back to the line. Why are you going that way? Come back to the line. But stupid as we are, what do? We again try to go off. But again Maya says, come back to the line. So this suffering in the material nature is the divine arrangement of Maya to bring us onto the track. And when you stay on the track, then no more punishment. Tapotrayan unmulanam. Threefold miseries are uprooted. So that is how Krishna has very kindly made all the arrangements. If we just remain fixed up in our Krishna consciousness, everything will become wonderful. There's no need to worry about anything. Krishna will take care of everything. Krishna is prepared to give us everything. It is not that we accept Krishna consciousness and we suffer. No. Now let us consider, what is actual enjoyment? What is actual happiness? What is happiness? What is happiness? Krishna Chan?
Happiness is a feeling the heart is good for Krishna.
Well, that is a theoretical. Or anyway, happiness is the fulfillment of desire. Joy or enjoyment. Happiness actually is a cessation of suffering. Anyway, the happiness in relation to enjoyment or joy is fulfillment of desire. When the desires become fulfilled, don't you become happy? Right? You want a car, you get a car. How do you feel, Mitesh? You feel happy. So this way, devotees are always feeling happy because whatever their desires are, Krishna fulfills that. At the initial stage, our desires may be material, but Krishna will fulfill those desires. Even our material desires will become fulfilled when we become devotees. But then we'll realize, what's the use of asking for material things? Like Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted to become a king, like his father. He wanted to take revenge against his stepmother. So he was very upset. And he said, okay, fine, I will show you. You said that I will not inherit my father's kingdom. Your son will inherit my father's kingdom. Fine. I will get a kingdom which is the greatest that anyone ever have come across. So with that urge, he went out. But when he got the blessings of Krishna, to have a position which is even superior to his grandfather's position, position exalted even more exalted than Brahma's position. Sovereignty over Dhruva Loka. So that is an inconceivable position actually. But what did Dhruva Maharaj respond? He said, I was so stupid. It was so foolish of me to desire something like that. It is like when somebody has access to diamonds, he is just searching for some broken pieces of glasses. What's the value of a broken piece of glass compared to a diamond? So when a devotee recognizes the benefit that one can derive by becoming a devotee, by becoming surrendered to Krishna, by receiving Krishna's mercy, then any amount of material enjoyment or any material situation becomes totally insignificant to him. Jai Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki. So that is the position of a devotee. And Krishna gives. Devotees say, Krishna, I want to serve you. Krishna says, serve me. Serve me. I'll give you all the facilities to serve me.